All right. Praise God. Well, this is Wednesday night. So let's pray and we're going to get into the Word of God. Amen. How many are ready? Did you come to hear Jesus? Hear from heaven? Hallelujah. Well, I'm not sure. That's okay too. If you're not sure yet, say, well, I'm just real tired and I'm just kind of here. But praise the Lord. Father, open our eyes. Father, we pray, our ears. Help us to hear, Lord. Help us to be alert. Help us to receive from your word and to see what you have us to see this night, Lord. We thank you for the truth, Lord. Jesus said that your word is truth. And so, Father, we thank you for the truth of your word tonight, that it would come forth in a way that's easy for each one of us to understand. Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, last Wednesday, we're talking about, really about Pentecost in chapter 2 of Acts, weren't we? Hallelujah. And how really that was a kind of like a revival. It was a time of an outpouring of the Spirit of God. We saw the different things that took place in that revival. Said they had to continue, didn't they? There was people that got filled with the Spirit, and they were so filled they went out into the streets and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus. And Peter got up and preached and said, what is this? Oh, my goodness, these people are drunk with new wine, but no, it's just 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, this is that which was spoken by the apostle, by Prophet Joel. And praise the Lord, the outpouring and the first time that the Holy Spirit had come and filled them to overflowing. And we saw that they had to do something even after that, didn't they? It said there was things that came. Hallelujah. They can let's just look at verse 42. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In other words, there was going to be, we found out, revival's not just about feeling good and not just about power, but it's also here about doctrine, about the truth. How many know it's important that we have the right foundation? Amen. We're to continue in the apostles' doctrine, the teachings that Jesus taught them. Amen. Praise God. And so we see that it will be some doctrine and fellowship. Oh, my goodness. The breaking of bread and in prayers. Amen. So they continued in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship one with another, in the breaking of bread, in prayers. I think it's going to be important, even in over in Hebrews. It said, even, you know, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, but even the more so as we see the day approaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Even more so, we may need one another. We're going to need each other. How many know you can't? You're not going to make it on an island on your own in these last days. We're going to need every person. And we need one another. Why? Because there becomes a strength. We add to each other. It's one thing when you have, when you've got one candle that's lit, right? You can see, you know, the darkness can overtake you, but it's kind of dim, isn't it? But when we all get the candles going, amen. Just think, if this room's full, and all the people light a candle, the light of God that's in you, that light that's in you begins to shine forth, and you bring your supply, and we have a greater amount of light and a greater power that begins to take place. And it says, fear came upon every soul and many wonders. Oh, boy. There were a lot of wonders and signs that were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. And all had things, had all things common. Some sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. In other words, the need of every person began to be met, didn't it? We said that we saw here, so we've got the apostles' doctrine. They're coming together with fellowship and prayers, and the people, they said signs and wonders are being done. Hallelujah. And all things came in common. No man had need. They begin to take care one for another. Amen. How many know there's not, it's not just about the power of God, but it's also going to be some teaching. There's going to be doctrine. There's going to be fellowship. There's going to be breaking of bread. These are all parts of revival. Amen. When they had these 5,000, can you imagine? If we've got 5,000 one day, come in. We're going to have to get busy. Amen. It's going to be busy. It's not just holding our own, but moving forward. Amen. Seeing that every need is taken care of. Verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Hallelujah. There's something that's good. Amen. I mean, you know, we should have a single heart unto the Lord. They had the same vision. They had the same heart. Following after him, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Glory to God. Now, if that's not revival, what is? Amen. Amen. So we were talking about that last Wednesday, and it's so important. We got to get a vision. We've got to see ourselves in those places. And we need to realize it's not just one thing. You know, we could go around the room and, you know, say, hey, what do you think, revival? What do we need for revival? What do you think? Well, I think we need to have good, we got to have prayer. I mean, we got to have fervent prayer, Pastor. I mean, that's going to help it, you know, for sure. Yes, we do. Well, somebody else may say, well, we got to have good teaching. Yes, we do. We've got to have good doctrine, don't we? Well, somebody else said, we need to have good fellow. We got to get together. We've got to support one another. Yes, we do. These are all parts of revival. As we enter in, we're going to see the very need that God's going to see to it. He's going to see to it that the body of Christ is going to need one another. We're going to need each other. We are. Each part's going to have to supply. So, hallelujah. And every need was met. We're going to see that. We're going to see the signs and wonders that are done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Amen. Praise God. And that's what we kind of ended with last week. We saw the need. Hey, we've got to allow God to fill us, number one, right? He's the one. He's the one that's going to fill us. And this is not just our revival, but this is His revival. It's His longing. He's wanted it long before we did. Amen. He waited a long time for Himself to be able to dwell on the inside of man. You know, under the Old Covenant, you know, the Old Testament, God came upon them, didn't He? I don't know how big Samson was. He might have been a 90-pound weakling, you know, or maybe 145-pound weakling. He went up and took the gates off the city, remember? Whew! Could you imagine? See, that was the Spirit of God coming upon him. The anointing came on him, but God still didn't live in him, did He? God still did not live in the inside of man. But now He's come and made His home in us. And so His greatest work was really reserved for us, where He changed mankind. The spirit of man was finally born again, born from our Father. You know, and sometimes He says, well, I've been born again. And that's wonderful, but do you understand? You know, we weren't left the same. We were changed. We received a new life on the inside. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, every time I talk about it, I just get excited. I know. But I can't help it. It's so awesome that God came to live in us, to change us from darkness to light, that sin will no longer be able to lord over us. It can't. Impossible. He set us so free. He changed us. And really, we're the only ones that are really free in the earth, those that know Him, because we're free to choose. men that are lost, they're bound in sin. We're free to choose. See, that gives us a responsibility, doesn't it? We're free to choose to walk with Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, if people in the world are free to choose, they can come to Christ. They can come to Him, but they're really not free from sin. Not until they confess Jesus as Lord. Amen. Then we're free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. I'm trying to get us to see some revival that God is doing in the earth. Let's turn over here to Acts chapter 5. Here's another revival that took place not too long after. Hallelujah. Just a few chapters over here, we've got Acts 5. And this is still in Jerusalem. But let's look at verse 11, and we'll begin there. It says, "And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every single one." Amen. "And the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the seat of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, Go, stand, and speak in the temple of the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning, and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly found we shut. It was shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within." Hallelujah. "Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow." Hallelujah. They didn't think it's going to grow. But "And came one, and they told him, saying, Behold, the men whom we put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Hallelujah. Well, here we see another, really, revival that took place still in Jerusalem. So here, by the hands of the apostles. Now if you look back just a little bit in chapter 4, they had already gotten into trouble. Here toward the end here, verse 23, they had already been threatened. They say, "Hey, we don't want you preaching in the name of Jesus anymore. Now stop it." And they let them go. But verse 23 says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard that they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They said, Lord, you are a God which has made heaven and earth and see and all that in them is. Who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the heavens heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, they said, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word, by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. So here they had gotten trouble once. They came together. They went back to their own company. Like we do sometimes when we hear about trouble, what do? We begin to pray, don't we? We heard one of our people's in trouble. We pray. We prayed tonight, didn't we? For someone there. We prayed for Michelle tonight. We lifted her up. She's, you know, when people are under attack, that's part of the body of Christ. We come together. We pray, don't we? We get an answer. And here they had been threatened, and they didn't say, oh, Lord, give us favor and help us to do and behave and do the right thing like they told us. No, they said, Lord, give us boldness. Let there be signs, wonders, miracles released. And we just read that here in the fifth chapter. It said, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Hallelujah. How many know prayer changes things? And of course, they had these wonders, and believers are being added to the Lord. Multitudes, it says, verse 14, of men and women. Amen. Multitudes of people begin to come. How many know that when signs and wonders take place, amen, people take notice? They say, oh, well, maybe we should listen to that. Things are happening. We can see the natural man wants to see. They want to see something and rightfully show. We should show and tell. Amen. Now, the goal here, we got to remember, the goal of being God's disciple is not really just to have power in our life and signs and wonders and miracles, but to walk like Jesus walked. Now, he had those signs and wonders, didn't he? But that wasn't all he had. He also had the character of God. He had the love of God. He had the wisdom of heaven. See, when they were trying here in the next chapter, in the sixth chapter, you know, they saw that, hey, we got to find some people of honest report. Remember, they were looking for that, and they chose Stephen, who later went down to Samaria and has the great revival. Hallelujah. Amen. But here, I don't want us to see, it's not just about having power in our life. The power of God doesn't necessarily mean that that your character is right with him. You may believe him. You may know him to a degree. You may have faith in God. But God's looking for people here in these last days that are sold out to him, that don't have an agenda of their own, that are not filled with the worldly lust, but are filled only with his desire, and they're single-minded, as we read earlier in the second chapter. See, they had a singleness of heart. Their heart was sold out to God. Their mind was sold out to him. And we don't want to see people that are bound by sin and brokenness, amen? They could be healed of that too. How many know? Because the Holy Ghost brings us into the fullness of all that Jesus is. He said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Amen. How many know it's just as powerful to see someone walk out of an emotional wheelchair as it is a physical one? Some people are bound by their own thoughts. I talked to a gentleman this morning, and he says, well, I just have trouble with my thoughts sometimes. He hasn't worked in 18 years, but you know. He said, well, I look at people that work, and I say, why? You know? But we talked for a while, and how many know Jesus wants to set people free? Amen. And I was talking to him, and I said, do you understand? There's a love that can enter into you that's not of this world. And we chatted for a little bit. He said, boy, you really make me think. You know, I said, Jesus came to man. That's the difference. Because he's thinking, oh, you know, there's other religions, there's other ways to God. And I said, really? Well, you know, others that were with him and so forth. I said, they're all dead. He's the only one that was raised to life and is still alive today, crying out mercy, offering an answer, offering the way. He gave his life for all, didn't he? You know, and he says, wow, you know, I hadn't really thought about it that way. You know, people are so, sometimes, you know, we're so, you know, the thoughts of man are so crazy. We think we can get to God ourselves. And the natural mind is never going to make it that way. It's going to take God revealing himself, his love. You know, before I left there, he was crying. There is a love. He said, yo, you give me hope. You know, he didn't pray right there. He said, I'm not right, quite ready to, he wasn't ready to pray and receive Jesus into his heart. But he said, I am thinking. Give me a lot to think about. You know, and I gave him a hug and said, hey, I love you, brother. I love you, man, as a human fellow man. He's not born again, but he's on his way. Understand. See, love sets people so free. Can come into an emotional situation. Deliver them in a moment. How many are believing for that? Amen. How many know? I mean, I've talked to some people downtown here that they're gone. Their mind was blown. They've been on so many drugs. They can't even think straight. They can hardly carry on a conversation. That's a sad case. Some of these are, you know, not that old people. You think, wow, they've already checked out. They're still alive. Amen. How many believe? Some people get saved. We might want to bring them down here. Have a little padded room back here. You can stay in our padded room. They've lost their mind. Praise God. Keep piping the word of God out. How many can see it? Come walking out. Where am I? What has happened to me? What just happened? Wait, you just got set free. You're in church. In church? Yeah, you're in church. Jesus brought your mind back to you. Would you like to receive Jesus? Amen. Have we got a vision for revival? Are we seeing the things that are possible with God? He said, all things are possible. What to him that believes? If you can believe, all things are possible. Matthew 9:23, right? All things. We're going somewhere, folks. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Hallelujah. A lot of work, but a lot of fun too. How many know the ministry is work? W-O-R-K. Sometimes you get a little tired. Sometimes you can feel it. Glory to God. Some days you might work harder than others. Say, well, what kind of work is that? To believe. John 6:28. This is the work of God, that you believe. Believe on him, right? The work of God. Sometimes it's a little work to believe. To get our believer over there. See, we're trying to get us to see, because of what we see, we can possess. Hope, that godly hope in you, that vision in you, when you can see it in your mind's eye, you can imagine it, we can walk into it. If it's based upon what? The Word of God. You can. See, the Word of God is supposed to be creating these images in us. I'm trying to get us to see. It says, of the rest, he didn't, no man joined him to them, But the people magnified them. In other words, they're a little nervous here. Okay. Where is that? Okay, yep. Amen. They were not real happy. And the believers were the more they were added to the Lord, multitudes of men and women. Hallelujah. Can you see multitudes being added to the Lord? Multitudes more than one, right? It's more than two. Amen. I would say I'm not sure how much a multitude really is, but I know it's more than just a few. Amen. More than just a handful, but many. Many. Maybe 500, 1,000. More. Maybe more. It says of both men and women. Insomuch they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds. I love this. And on couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Can you see it? You're coming to church. You're coming in. Maybe you're just walking down the sidewalk here, and getting ready to come in the door. And people have come early. They set some sick out there in case you come by, that your shadow might hit them. And they jump off that couch. They jump off the bed. They jump off the stretcher. They jump out of that wheelchair. They receive a miracle. Cancer disappears, falls off their body. Can you see that? Amen. Hallelujah. Just in case your shadow might touch them. See, these people saw. They knew that there was power coming out of them. They knew there's something different about these people. They know God. And things are happening. Things are going to be happening around here more and more. We're just on the beginnings. We're just starting. There's revival in certain places, but it's not. Well, I haven't seen any places where it's quite to this degree yet. I don't know about you. Maybe you've seen some. If you do, praise the Lord. We're thankful for whatever anybody's doing. Amen. We want to keep pressing in. We want it to happen right in our city. We call our city saved. Amen. St. Thomas, Elgin County is in revival. How many can believe? How many can see revival taking place? It says, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about. Hallelujah. Sometimes I'll say that. Thank you, Lord. St. Thomas is saved. Elgin County and regions around us. Hallelujah. Regions round about. That'd be like, what, London over here, right? How about Elmer down here? Going down to, well, whichever direction it is, I think it's that way. Yeah. Anyway, Elmer, you know, in London up north. And, you know, we've got Shedden over here and some other small cities around. What about down here by the lake? What do they call that? Port Stanley down here. All kinds of places around us. People coming to hear and to be healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but that does my spirit good. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits. Are you ready to cast out some devils? Amen. How many know the devil likes to exercise hard control over people? In these days, there's going to be a lot of people need to get delivered. Amen. It's not that hard, especially when God's with you, right? And you know Him. You believe Him. You've been fasting and praying. Doubt and unbelief's leaving you. Faith's rising. Faith is rising in you. Hallelujah. And they were all healed. Everyone. Glory. How many is ready for everyone to be healed? I remember A.A. Allen talking about that. He wrote a little bit about it. He'd been seeking God and he was going to go on a... He kept telling his wife, I'm going to fast. And she'd cook him a real nice dinner, and he'd smell that. He'd sit down and eat. Bless God. He couldn't help himself. He was trying. But he's going to fast. His wife said, oh, you're not. You're never going to do it. And finally, one day, he sat down at the table, took his plate, turned it over, went into a closet, and began to seek God. 10 days later, said the Lord finally came to him. Said, Lord, what do we need? We got to have this power. We've got to have it, Lord, to the fullness. And the Lord, he said, the Lord gave him a list of 13 things that he wanted him to get out of his life. And he began to seek the Lord. He said the first few are